those freezing things. If anybody's wondering, maybe they're not. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, and that's a feminine name, it was a woman, that there are contentions, divisions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Before I go on reading, I've entitled this lesson, The Birth of Denominations. And here we have it, the idea of denominations, divisions within the body of Christ. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I'd baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name. Lord, we wouldn't dare approach you any other way. And we pray that we might be found in him. We pray that he would be preached this morning, and that we would be given ears to hear, and eyes to see, and hearts to receive. Lord, we confess our sins. We can't ever come into your presence without some awareness of our sin, and we confess our sins and we pray for forgiveness and cleansing, and how we thank you for the blood of thy Son that does cleanse us from all sin. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for your guidance upon our leaders, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, will you give us each a hunger and thirst after thyself? Be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered about denominations? Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, Christian Church, on and on, Lutheran. So many different denominations. They're not in the Bible. I know that probably many would claim that they find their roots in the Bible, but there's no denomination in the Bible. None at all. And each one of these denominations, they probably, for the most part, would not say, well, the people in this denomination are not saved. They're just saying, we're a little better. We have a clearer understanding of things. We've got more on the ball. We're more scriptural than these other denominations that lack. Well, I think the birth of at least the thought of denominations is found in this passage of Scripture. This is what was going on at the church of Corinth. Now look in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. No difference. No difference. There is no reason for any believers to speak differently. This is not talking about uniformity to where we all look alike and dress alike and try to have the same cliches. You know that's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about with regard to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no reason for believers to speak anything differently. And he's praying for that. He says, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Now, he's now addressing the first problem at the church of Corinth. He's talking about these divisions that are taking place. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, he's dealing with divisions. And this was going on in the church of Corinth. Look in chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men according to the natural man? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Utterly fleshly to even be thinking in this respect. Look at the end of 2 Corinthians. Now, 2 Corinthians, most people, was written about a month after 1 Corinthians. So it's not like there were years between. And he says this with regard to the church at Corinth a month later in verse 20 of chapter 12. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swelling, tumults. He said, this is what I fear I'm going to find. Now, somebody's going to ask the question, can that kind of stuff be going on in a gospel church? Well, I can answer that real easily by asking this one question. Are saints still sinners? Yes, they are. These things ought not to be going on. It's a shame if they are. But wherever you got men and women, you can have this kind of stuff. Now, he had been so positive with him in these first 9 verses, calling them faithful brethren. And they were. He wasn't trying to butter them up. He wasn't using flattery. He really believed these people were brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, verse 10 again. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. His appeal is the name of Christ for his sake. For his sake. Because of him, these things ought not be going on. Now that is an appeal to a believer. For his sake. For his glory. For his namesake. And this is his appeal. For his namesake. He says, this is by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions, schisms among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, somebody said this to me about this passage of Scripture, and I thought it was a good question. They said, is this the way believers ought to be or the way they are? Yes. It's the way believers ought to be, yes. And it's the way they are. Deep down, every believer believes the same thing. There is no differences. But there were here, and divisions is where we get the word disunity and dissension. I love what the wise man said in Proverbs 13:10. Listen to these words. By pride only cometh contention. The only reason there is ever contention or division is because pride has lifted up its ugly head. I've got it. You've got it. It's a horrible thing. It's groundless. It's baseless. What in the world do any of us have to be proud about to protect? Yet by pride only. I love the way he said only. By pride only cometh contentions. That's always what's behind it. Now here he tells us what is behind this pride. And here's where I say we get the idea of denominations in this passage of Scripture. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm a Paul. I've learned the gospel through him. I like his style. I like his preaching. I'm a Paul. Somebody else says, well, I'm of Apollos. You know, Apollos was an eloquent man. Paul evidently was not an eloquent speaker, but Apollos was. He was an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures. And some people think he might have been the pastor of this church after that Paul founded it. It began with Paul and Barnabas, and then all of a sudden Apollos is the preacher, and people say, I prefer Apollos. I'm an Apollosite. There were Paulites, there were Apollosites. And then somebody said, not me. I like Cephas. That's Peter. You know, there's no proof that Peter was ever at this church, but maybe he was, because some people said, I like Peter. I guess he was the guest speaker. He came in, and there he was, kind of like a conference. Or we hear these people at conference, think, well, how come pastor can't preach like that? You know, I mean, these people really like Cephas. No, we're Cephasites. And then you had the real pious ones. I don't follow any man. I follow Christ. That sounds pious. As a matter of fact, I think these people are worse than the rest of them. I follow only Christ. I don't follow any man. And you know, there's a movement right now. No church, no pastor. So here you had people who were preacher worshipers, and you had people who were preacher despisers. They were together, but what it is, there were these divisions. There were these differences. There's the Paul brand of Christians, and there's the Apollos brand of Christians. And then there's the Cephas brand of Christians, and then there's the Christians that don't have any need of any man whatsoever. They say, I follow Christ. I don't need any man. Now, all that kind of thinking does is make division. You make yourself different from others. I think the best way to illustrate this is Peter in Galatians chapter 2. He is eating with the Gentiles, having fellowship with them, having a good time. I don't know what all they were talking about. I bet he was eating pork, though. I bet he was just thinking, boy, this is great. And all of a sudden, some people from Jerusalem come, the church at Jerusalem, who were Jewish. Now, they would have frowned upon Peter doing this. So what does Peter do? He doesn't say anything. He gets up, leaves the Gentiles, and sits down with the Jews. That's all he did. Now, what was he saying by that? He was saying by that, I'm not saying that the Gentiles are not saved, but you're a little bit more pleasing to God by eating at the Jewish table and observing Jewish law. They weren't eating pork. They were more pleasing to God. And Paul at that time publicly rebuked Peter. Because what Peter was doing, I don't think it was in his mind that he's doing it, but what he was doing was denying that Jesus Christ is all. He's saying you can be a little bit more pleasing to God by being over here on the Jewish table than you are on the Gentile table. And Paul publicly rebuked him for what he called his hypocrisy. Now somebody says, Paul was too hard then. Well, no he wasn't. No he wasn't. I know he was the apostle. But this is what is going on in this thought of denominations. It's completely carnal, this way of thinking, of division within God's people, some being this way and some being that way. Look in 1 Corinthians 3 again. He says in verse 3, "For you are yet carnal." Now when he's saying that, he said, what you're acting like is unbelievers. You act like people who don't know the gospel. "You are yet carnal, for as there's among you envy and strife and division, are you not yet carnal? And walk as men, for while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not yet carnal?" Acting like an unbeliever. Now that's pretty strong language. Now all Christian denominations are man-made. Wouldn't you agree with that? But I shouldn't even ask you that. It's just so. Whether you agree with it or not, they're all man-made. You can't find them in the Bible. They're unfounded by Scripture, and that makes them all wrong. Denominations. That makes them all wrong. Now look back in verse 13. Paul shows the ludicrousness of this kind of thinking. He says, is Christ divided? Are there denominations within the body of Christ? Different divisions, different. Is Christ divided? He takes it even stronger. Was Paul crucified for you? You talk about being a Paulite. I'm a Paul. Was Paul crucified for you? Did he have anything to do with the putting away of your sins? Why, such thoughts are offensive, aren't they? Is Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, by asking those questions, he shows how wrong and how ludicrous and contrary to the gospel this thinking of divisions within the body of Christ. One that has a little bit clearer grasp of the truth than the other. One, all it's doing is denying that Christ is all in salvation. That's all it's doing. Look what he says in verse 14. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I'd baptized in my own name. He said, I'm thankful I didn't baptize you guys. He says, I baptized also the house of Stephanus, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, I think it's interesting. Interesting is not the right word, but some people use this to say baptism is no longer necessary. Paul said Christ didn't send me to baptize. That was part of New Testament times. It's over. Baptism is no longer necessary. Well, baptism isn't necessary to save you, but baptism is necessary for you to confess Christ in believer's baptism. It's very, very important. I love what the Lord said, whoso believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what he is teaching us at that time is that the requirement for baptism is belief. Believing the gospel. If you believe the gospel, you ought to be baptized. Now, he says that, but he says, Christ didn't send me to baptize. I'm not sent for results and people and things. Christ didn't send me to baptize. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to preach the gospel. Now, this is so important. Here's our reason for being here, to preach the gospel. There's only one gospel, not a gospel, the gospel. And this is where unity comes from. Not Well, here we need to speak the same thing, although he says that, but when he hears what unifies God's people, the gospel. The gospel. This is something that will speak on a fundamental level to every believer, the gospel. That's what we have unity in, the gospel. He says, God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. You know what wisdom of words are? Here's an example. Christ died for those who believe. True. But a cover-up. You don't want to say Christ died for the elect. That might offend somebody. You don't want to say Christ died for the sheep and accomplish their salvation. You want to say Christ died for those who believe. Anybody can accept that. That's all. Anybody can accept it. That's dressing up the truth with wisdom of words to try to make it more appealing to the natural man and to take away the offense from the gospel. Wisdom of words. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. In other words, what we need is the naked truth, not dressed up by men so you can't even recognize it. We need the naked truth, and here it is, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. Notice that. We have two different kinds of people. Them that are perishing and us which are saved. And what is the difference? Their thought on the cross. The preaching of the cross is literally the word of the cross, the doctrine of the cross, that which the cross declares. Now, here is something that unites God's people. There may be strife, there may be division among God's people. There shouldn't be. But there was a Corinth, obviously. And we really know more about the church of Corinth than any of the other churches, because more is addressed to them that Paul does. And there was this stuff going on there. And what does he do? He goes back to the word of the cross. The word of the cross. To them that are perishing, it's foolishness. They don't see any glory in this, but unto us which are saved. The cross is the whole counsel of God. Any disagreement there? Well, if there is, the Lord hadn't saved you. You agree. The cross is the whole counsel of God. The cross is God's purpose, His eternal purpose. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The cross is why God created the universe. For the cross. The cross is why God allowed man to fall. For the manifestation of the cross. That's the full character of God displayed in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is the only way a sinner is saved. Now there's complete unity here with God's people, isn't there? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak the same thing. Christ crucified is all. We're perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Christ Jesus is all. You know, we're all saved the same way, aren't we? If you're saved, you're saved because God elected you. You're saved because Christ died for you and worked out a perfect righteousness for you. If you're saved, you're saved because God the Holy Spirit gave you life, regenerated you. You were birthed of God. It's what Jude calls the common salvation. I like that term, the common salvation. The salvation that all of God's people have in common. Saved the same way, believe the same thing. Every one of God's people. It's called the common faith. Every one of God's people believe precisely alike. Christ is all in salvation. Christ is all in everything. You know, we have the same book. We're being taught from this book, the Bible, same book. You know, it kills me when people have confessions. You know, say, well, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Well, why do you have other stuff then? Why do you have these confessions and these creeds and these catechisms? Who needs it? Well, the Bible's a big book. Yeah, but it's only got one message. And if you know the meaning of Scripture, you know it's only got one message. And all these things, these confessions and catechisms, I think they're all foolishness. They're additions to the Word of God. And people that use them, they'll say, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, but they look to those confessions to find out what they believe and what they do. You know, here's what's right. Here's what. Forget that kind of stuff. We have the same book. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, anything other than the Bible is not any good. Just don't want to have anything to do with it. Anything that's not other than the Bible is wrong. Any man-made tradition is wrong. Look what he says in Ephesians 4. There is one body. Verse 4. He's talking about the church. There's one body. He's talking about here on earth. There's one body. Not different denominations. There's one body. And one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. We have one hope. You know, the only hope I have is that Jesus Christ lived and died for me. I don't have any other hope, but I'm so satisfied with that hope. God is satisfied with what he did. I am too. That's the one hope, Jesus Christ. One Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of all. There's one faith, the faith of God's elect. There's one baptism. One God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. One. One. Now, how ugly it is for there to be differences between believers. They're all wrong. They're all. It happened in Corinth. Somebody says, can that happen in a true church? Well, as long as me or you are there, it can. I love that. Somebody says, I'm afraid to join that church. Too many hypocrites there. Well, you ought to feel just at home. You ought to feel real good there. You'd fit in right well. Too many sinners there. Well, you ought to feel good there. You know, let's close by looking at Psalm 133. Psalm 133, verse 1. It's by David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Speaking the same thing, believing the same thing, having the same love, having the same gospel. There's nothing. There's no room for division. There's no room for anytime there's any division, remember, by pride only, my human pride, by pride only cometh contention. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down over the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.